Father, we just adore you today, and we have come in your presence again, yes. Always, and just seeking you and being loved by you and feeling your wraparound arms around us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just praise your holy name. And our desire here today, Lord, is to walk in your ways. Mm-hmm. Take the light of your word that you put on our heart, and to speak it forth in the way that you want it spoke. So I just pray, Lord, that today that everything that Deb and I say is because you put it there.
Yes.
And it's for this time and place. And everything about you, Lord, you have a timing for everything. So I pray that these words are in that timing. And I just pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. You guys say it.
Be blessed.
Let's turn it around. Be happy.
Be happy.
You guys aren't with it at all. Come on. Let's use a little bit of get up and go here. Let's do it again. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be happy.
Be happy.
There we are. Now we're in the right place. We're before our Lord Jesus right now, and we are blessed. Do you feel blessed?
Yes.
Okay, the scripture that assigned to us is Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. And I just want to tell you that before I start on this, that Deb and I have not done this before, and you guys already know that. And
he's done a lot.
together. We're talking about speaking together. And so we're going to go back and forth here a little bit, so just bear with us as we do it. But we want to start just by reading the scripture, and you want to read it?
Psalms 119, 1 and 2 in the Holman version. How happy are those whose ways is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instructions. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart.
All right. And I'm going to read it in the Passion. You're only truly happy when you walk in total integrity, walking in the light of God's word. What joy overwhelms everyone who keeps the way of God, those who seek him as their heart's passion. Wow. Now, I like the way the Passion says it. Yeah, because it is personal. It is there. And so the Lord has put a lot of verses and things on my heart, and I just really don't know which way I'm going to go, but I think I'm going to start this way, and we'll see what he does, okay? We're in a story, and it's not our story. It's Jesus' story, because he's living in us. And it's in everything we say, do, think, if we're in the right place, then he is moving and his story forward through us, in us, and through the atmosphere around us. But when we start dwelling on our own selves, thinking in our minds, and I'm pretty good at that, I get thinking about my mind and saying, I need to do this, then it's not his story any longer. But when it's from the heart, because our hearts are connected, when it's from the heart, then it's his story. And he's the author of that story. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, I was going to just read this one verse. Since it is plain that you are Christ's letter, produced by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on the tablets that are hearts of flesh. You get that? It's written on hearts of flesh. Wow. That's what we're talking about, story. And then in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that lies before us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for joy, get that, who for joy that he lay before him, endured a cross and despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Now you think about that. We're running a race in Christ Jesus, but he ran it before us. And everything that was put before him, he did it with joy. Do we do that? No grumbling, no complaining. Well, you guys aren't with me at all yet. Okay. We'll get there, okay? Paul says that we're a living epistle. What does that mean? He's saying we are living. Yeah, epistle is a book. We're a living letter written by the hand of Christ through the Holy Spirit and intended to be ready for others to read or see. That's what we are. Do we think of ourselves that way? Think about that. How do we get there? Now, the lesson day says, be blessed. Be happy. Be full of integrity. Walk the walk with him. Have a heart that's just filled with him. And those are easy words, but sometimes hard to do, because we get to thinking up here instead of listening here and doing what he puts in our hearts to do. Last year, the Lord brought a group of us to Portland, actually to the Salem area, to pray for Portland. And I thought we were going there the way I understood the instructions that he sent us. It was for 52 days. And we started this journey of 52 days. And all it was gathering every day and praying for what he was showing us to pray. But the problem was, when we first started, we were not unified. We were individuals coming in, and we had our own thought process, our own ways we thought we should be praying for Portland. And he, through the Holy Spirit, had to bring us into unity. And every day, we got stronger and stronger, and he was giving us the word, and his feeding us. And we were doing this every day, and my brother, my older brother, which was part of it, he kept saying, he's a pastor also, he kept saying, we need to go to Portland, start walking the streets, start talking to people. And the Holy Spirit was in me, said, no, we can't do that. We're not ready. And he said, okay, we'll wait. And we kept waiting day after day, because what I was getting was real clear. Until we're unified, until he sent us, we were not to move. We were to stand and wait in that place, praying, as he was directing. Well, one day, during the prayer time, a person stood up and said, I am tired of this. We're wasting time. We need to be in Portland, where God wants us to be. And it just, like the devil, went right through that whole group and just turned almost everybody into, let's go now. And I sat there, and I was crying in my heart, and I was thinking, Lord, what do we do? We're not to go yet. And so I waited for a little bit, and I finally just spoke out. And I says, the Lord has not told us to go. We're inquiring what he wants us to do. And until he tells us to move, we're not to move. Well, the group split, like a church split, in one way, because you're close and you have this unity, and all of a sudden, boom, it's out. It's gone. And this group went to Portland, and they had all kinds of difficulties. Now, I won't go into those, okay? 8 of us stayed, and it started to go for 52 days and went for 140 days. And God only moved us twice. But in 140 days, we met every day for 3 hours praying together. And he was feeding us, and he was showing us what he was doing in Portland and the surrounding area, and how he was changing the hearts of people. Were we blessed? We were blessed. Because we weren't not only in a place of prayer with him, but he was right there in the center showing what his angels were doing, what his plans were, his strategies. He was showing all of it. And it was really amazing, as different ones of us, different days, He would just show us, and then we'd explain it. Or he'd give us a word, or go over here and read this, as today, that's happening in Portland, now the Word of God. And it was amazing time. Amazing time. We end up in battle, big battle. But God was directing the battle. And we knew, even though Portland doesn't look like, some people say it's no different now than it was then, it is a lot different. And victory is being there. God said in Portland then, he said, they're mocking me, and I'm going to change that. And he not only said that, he said, and after Portland, I'm going to take it across the country. Now, does that give you hope?
Yes.
It gives great hope. So we were blessed. In that process of going, Deb decided that she needed to come back home. And this was a hard one for me because the word I had was she was to stay. But I could not tell her that. I don't know if I even told you that. Okay? But she was not to go home. But she was missing her home. She was missing the grandkids, the kids. She wanted to be here. Yeah, we had a dog. We had several things going on. But she felt she needed to go home. But my spirit was saying, no, she's supposed to stay.
When Alan got a text asking him to speak, Alan said, Deb, Nancy asked me to speak. I said, really? He said, yeah. On Psalms 119, be blessed. And Debbie says, maybe I should help you. Maybe I should do it with you. And now I'm thinking, did I really say that? But I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient. So I always rely on this when I have to step out. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. And I want to glorify him. Alan and I have been married for 48 years. We just celebrated the 17th. We have 4 children. 3 live here in Ketchikan. And 1 daughter lives in Texas with her family. We're a tight family. Our children always respected us, have always respected us. In January of 2018, we went south because I had my first eye surgery. And Alan, I came home in April. I got released in April. Alan stayed in Oregon because he was on this journey. We had a house I had to take care of, an apartment to get ready, and a dog. So that was my reasoning. June 1st of 2018, Jason, our number 2 kid, we have Rodney, Jason, Eileen, and Petrina. Jason, our number 2 son, found his wife Stephanie unconscious in the house. She was rushed to the ER. CT scan showed that she had a tumor the size of an almond. She was experiencing a lot of seizures at that time, and so they had to keep her heavily sedated. When they rolled her out of the hospital, I wasn't sure I was ever going to see my daughter-in-law alive again. It was so hard and dramatic. Mother's heart stepped in like a mother bear. Mother's heart steps in when our kids are hurting. Jason is my sensitive. He's 30-something, and he's my sensitive one, and we all was concerned for him. He hates hospitals. He doesn't like medical stuff, but this is something he had to deal with. He got on the plane, medevaced with her. I called Alan. He's on this journey, and I said, you have to drive to Bellingham. Stephanie is being medevaced. Jason's on the plane with her. You have to drive to Bellingham, and he's in Salem, Oregon. He said, I can't go. God won't let me leave Oregon. I have to stay here. And I said, what? This is your kid. You can't go be with Jason and Steph? He said, I can't. I have to stay. I have to be obedient. I was angry. I was really angry. My kids were angry. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. He says he hadn't been released from Oregon. Rod's wife, our oldest, she's a jewel. She was upset. She was really upset. Her husband went down the following day, flew down to be with Jason. I called her the next day, and I said, Michelle, I know you're upset with Dad, but I'm asking you to give him grace. Give him some grace. Yeah. But I wasn't sure I could give him grace, because he's the father. All I could think of is Luke 12, 52. I hope I can read this between my tears. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's all I could think of. I couldn't bear to have conflict in my family. I called, well, I already told you, I called Michelle. So you see, I was dwelling on the negative, listening to the little foxes. Ellen's not being a good father, blah, 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 blah. How are you going to take care of this? I was letting the enemy really work on me. I felt so alone. My kids were upset, angry, not so much at me, but at their dad, which was hurting me. I was an emotional wreck. You see, I saw my daughter-in-law in a very bad state, and I let my mind take over. I was asking God to fix it my way. Let Ellen go, and why are you doing this? Why are you putting conflict in my family? And why are they taking Stephanie to Bellingham when University of Washington is the brain center of the Northwest? That makes no sense. I even went and talked to the Guardian Flight EMT guy. He said, I couldn't figure that out either. 3 days later, she was transported to University of Washington in an ambulance. Tests immediately, surgery a day later. Before the doctor performed the surgery, he came in and he said the tumor was the size more than his fist, and it was here. They were able to take 100% out, which is unusual because usually they can up to 75. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
The middle of June, I flew back to Oregon for the second eye surgery. Alan's younger brother and sister-in-law asked if I would like to go to Seattle with them. Take me, take me. And by the way, I didn't feel that I could go on the medevac to be with Jason because I don't handle my emotions well around something like that, and I would not be a help to him. So I chose to be home until it was time for me to go to Oregon. I asked Alan if he would go, and he said, no, I can't go, which made me angry. I was upset. Still, because I didn't get it. I was elated to see Jason. Alan and my relationship was stressed with a capital S, to say the least. It was not good. It was so good to see Jason and Steph. She was sitting up in bed, smiling, had a lot of stuff connected. They had to be at Seattle for about 3 months for heavy-duty chemo and radiation. So proud of Jason. He's 100% behind Stephanie, there with her, understanding, helping her every way he could. Still does. On the way back from Oregon, back from Seattle, driving to Oregon, I realized that my logic was a faith killer. Logic is a faith killer. I wanted it all fixed my way, that Stephanie would be healed and Alan would be with them. Did I tell you I was an emotional wreck? Do you see what I'm doing? I was wallowing in my own despair. I wasn't seeking God with my heart. It was a rotten attitude. I was quenching my Holy Spirit. I got distracted. I had to let go and let God. I needed to ask for forgiveness for keeping him out, putting him on a shelf. And I had to refocus on Jesus. Now, the question is, or was, is he going to trust me again with his next challenge? And more importantly, will I have faith and trust in him on the next challenge? My plans were earthly and physical. His are spiritual. I needed to seek the scriptures. So I did. I read Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord's power. Put on your armor. I used to put on my armor every day. Every morning I used to put on my armor. But I stopped. Due to my emotions, I started up again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. A month later, Stephanie was diagnosed with glioblastoma. That is a terminal cancer, brain cancer. But we do not claim it.
Yeah.
Because God is much stronger and bigger than that. We are asking for a miracle. We're going to let God go and fight that battle for us. She has had great follow-up visits, able to drive. She sees her doctor every 4 months instead of every 3, and no more chemo.
Yeah.
I am blessed because God showed me my mistakes. He pulled me back. and he redeemed me. And I've continued to receive an increase of Holy Spirit. Thank you. I give God the glory. I am content in the Lord. I am blessed and happy. And now that I am done, I'm really content.
I'm gonna go back again and just start explaining from my point, because she put me in the story. And I want to explain my feelings, my emotions, and what God is calling me to do. And one thing I have to say before I do that is we're each called differently in Him. So we each have a different gifting. We have a different purpose in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So we're not the same. So my calling might not be your calling, and your calling is not my calling. We have to listen to Him. We have to know what His heart is telling us to do. For me, it was real clear. I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I surrendered it all. That means everything that is of Alan is His. And sometimes that's hard to remember and put in place. Anytime I want to do something, I forget, Lord, can I do this? You know? But it's a learning process. And as we move forward in Him and we want to build that relationship in Him, then we inquire, we ask, we seek to go deeper in these things and ask to be taken deeper. And in this part of the journey, I have been blessed. I mean, I've been able to go to many countries, and He has put me in places to encourage and speak into people's lives, and I have been favored in this. And who am I? I'm a child of the King. And He says, I'm a partner. That was a hard one for me when I started this journey. I always looked at being a friend or a servant. That's the part I picked out of the Word. You know, I got those two, right? And He says, Alan, I want you to be my partner. And that was a new concept for me during this prayer time that I was going through. And so that's part of it. And the other part of it is in my religious background growing up, it's always been about going and doing something for God. It never had been in my whole life standing, waiting, listening, and not moving. And that was hard. Every time I wanted to see somebody or do something, I wanted to go, hey, I got good news, let me share it. But that's not what He was telling me to do. He says, stay in prayer in Me. Stand and wait in Me and let Me instruct you. And let Me change you. And that's what He was doing. He was changing me. But it was really hard because everything in my past said, let's go, let's go. And so when that group broke off to go to Portland, I could understand why they were doing it. But I knew the Holy Spirit that was talking to me said, do not move. Do not go. And that's when the journey really started. Because the things He started revealing, the things He started changing in me was so different. And what's interesting about that is I have a lot of contacts and a lot of personal friends and a lot of ministry friends. And He says, don't go and do anything with them. And I get these texts or phone calls, you know, and I just have to say, right now I'm just in prayer. It was really hard because what do you say? God says, no, come visit you. You know, don't go come be with you. You know, I wasn't going to say that to Him, but that's the Word, you know. But during this time, it became a time of desperation in me to be in Him. And I don't know how to explain that, but everything in my being was so focused and in Him and feeling the presence of Him, I didn't want to step anyplace else. I didn't want to go anyplace else. And I knew I was being drawn. I knew I was being prepared for something. Don't know what, but I knew all that was in there. And I became very desperate in my pursuit of God. And, you know, when you, I have this picture in my mind of a desert, and there's nothing around, and all of a sudden a little bit of water comes, and this little flower sticks out. You know, have you seen that kind of on some of the TV channels? That's the picture I had as I was in this place, isolated. I really wasn't isolated because I had a group of people, but the relationship with him was isolated. And all of a sudden, things are starting to grow, starting to come out of that. And that's where I was. It was just before this happened with Jason and Stephanie, I started getting phone calls and things happening. I had a spiritual son that stepped out on his wife and got in big trouble. And he was calling, and he was in crisis. Mess, yeah. I had the problem with my brother that was still in crisis, with him taking the group one way and I staying the other way. I had a younger brother that was accused and arrested for sexual things, which he was innocent. And what was funny about that, as soon as I asked the Lord says, I'm going to vindicate him. And he did. But it didn't happen overnight. So all these things are coming. You see what they are? They're distractions. They're pulling. And I could name a lot more, but there's things in the group that are having the same problem that we're praying together with. And then this happens with my son, daughter-in-law. My heart wanted to get up and go. And I tell you, the thought process in my mind, again, says, well, Lord, you're not releasing me, but it's only 3.5 hours to drive up there. I could be there and back, you know, in just a little bit of time. You know, how you start thinking these things. And I had to stop and I had to think. If he called me, if he is really my Lord, then I have to be obedient to what he's calling me to do. And even though my emotions and my heart was with my family, I had to be obedient. And I tell you, my ministry friends in Oregon, they did not understand that. They could not understand. Debbie could not understand it, okay? But that's where I was. But here's the good part. As I started inquiring and asking God and praying about their situation, God just opened up this picture. And I seen both of them in the hospital. And he showed me that Stephanie was in his hands and he was already working on her head before the surgery. And it was going to be okay. That's what he showed. And he showed Jason sitting on his lap in the waiting room. And he was going to be filled with God's presence. Now, Jason didn't know that. Jason's not a believer. He didn't know that, okay? And so, man, that just gave my heart a jump. I'm ready to go, you know? And so it was easier for me to stay in that place because of what God revealed. But with the family, it was really difficult. And we're talking about blessing. You're thinking, well, why are we telling a story like this for blessings? Because no matter what our circumstances, we are blessed. Because he has a plan. He has victory over everything. Yeah. All we have to do is be true to him, trust in him, and stand in that place. And it's going to come out right. Because it's his plan, not our plan. And there was a long trial with that going through. But in my heart, from that point on, no matter how the relationship with us got more rocky, and I'll say it that way, it got pretty bad. 47 years of marriage, I think, is the worst we ever had, okay? But I knew that was in his hands too. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do with her. But I said, you do. And you love her just like you love me. Yeah. And you said marriage is important. And you honor that marriage. And so I'm just laying it in your hand. And I tell you, there's times it didn't look like that marriage was going to stay together. But it was there. So, just I'm gonna read one little part so you can kind of see how it came together here during this time. I noticed that things I thought important before has changed. The entertainment time, the conversation time, the busyness time, all were being refocused. And all I would do is want more of him. I want his word. I want his spirit. I want his presence. Life influences are being changed, and they're so different now. The things that begin to change inside me at an fast rate, I'll put it that way, okay? Angelic activity, both good and evil, surrounded me. And my life became intense. I believe there has been a gain of attention of heaven and of hell. I believe God is accelerating me. The speed of change or transition is coming faster in my life. I am coming more alive in his word. It's a lifeline, a source of feeding, a substance that is coming and filling me. New insights. The closeness of him and his presence has pulled me deeper. And I am becoming addicted to the glories of Jesus Christ. Now that's just one little section out of several pages of during this time. He took me to Deuteronomy 29:3 during this time. And I'm gonna read 3 through, well, I don't know how far I'm gonna read, but I'll read part of it. And let's see how it fits. You saw with your own eyes the great trials and those great signs and wonders. All of you are standing today before the Lord your God, the leaders, the tribes, the elders, the officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your wives, and foreigners in your camps who cut your wood and draw your water, so that you may enter into the covenant of the Lord your God, which he is making with you today, so that you may enter into his oath. And so that he may be established, that he may establish you today as his people, and he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making the covenant and this oath not only with you, but also with those who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, and with those who are not yet here. That's one of the verses he took me to. And he says, dwell on that. He says, you're in my covenant. And this is what I'm promising. So no matter what it looks like, that strength of him comes into that inner being. And you cannot be moved. You cannot be shaken. Now, I should say, you know, in my walk with him, I know certain things about what he designed me for. It's been a long journey figuring this out. But I know that I'm designed to bring his living water into places of chaos and darkness. And that's what I'm designed for. And the places he sends me has those things going on. And I can come in with the living water and change the atmosphere of what is happening through Jesus Christ. Because he is in me and the enemy runs. And the enemy runs. And if I didn't tell you I'm a seer too, so I'll say that. They run. Okay? And so I get to see things that way. So what does that have to do with being blessed? I called, you called, and he answers. And he says, I'm your God. I love you. I have a purpose, I have a plan for each of us. If you just walk in it, I am going to bless everything. It might not look like a blessing at the time, but it will be a blessing. Wow. So are we blessed? Yes, we are blessed. So in the verse we read, I'm skipping a little bit, but I'm just going to go back to that for a minute, is in the translation, Passion Translation, verse 1, it says, "You're only truly happy or blessed," but he says happy here, "when you walk," that's the life we live in him, "in total integrity." And I'm thinking, during this process, during this time, this word kept coming up all the time. And I looked it up, you know, what does the dictionary say about integrity? Why does the word keep coming? I keep coming across it as I was reading through the word, integrity, integrity. And I just didn't feel like I was getting a good meaning on it. And I just felt like there was something missing. And I went back and, you know, I looked at Job. I looked at all these things and I kept asking God, you know, I just don't, there's something missing. I don't understand this word right. And so at our prayer group one day, I just said, "Team, this word is just bothering me." I said, "Their God is trying to show me something, but I don't know what it is. You know, I'm not hearing clearly what he wants me to see." And so I said, "I'd like you to pray for me and see if he will give you an answer for me." The next day we met, and Bob, one of the people that was praying with us, he says, "I prayed last night, and the Lord gave me a word for you, Alan." And he's happy-go-lucky guy, okay? And he said, this is what he said. "The Lord spoke to me about integrity, and he said, Solomon is an example of a structure that lost integrity." Now think about that. Solomon had everything. Everything, right? And he used the word structure. That was interesting too. "Look closely at what he was, what he was given, and how he lost integrity before me." Well, in my previous life here, I was a builder, so structures and things, you know, started making sense to me. He also gave this example. Think about a building. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to me, right? Mm-hmm. "What goes into it that makes it strong, that supports itself against the weight of things and the blowing of the wind, and how every stone, every nail, wood, cross structures tie it all together to make it strong. Now compare a building to a person. I have given man all the building blocks that are in place and more to be added in the right order, so he is mine." Did you get that? "In the right order, so he is mine. Built strong for all circumstances, but if man does not seek the placement of his of these blocks or let me put them in the order, then he will fail." Now, isn't that a good word? And then he goes on and says, "Solomon was seeking the right things before me. He was asking, he was listening, but then he started to hear and please his wives over me. And the blocks started to fall, slowly at first, and then faster and faster." And we know the outcome of Solomon. I think that's a good word that fits right here. Total integrity. In other words, we're his structure. He's the one that's laying the blocks in us. And he knows when to do it and how to place them. Amen. But we have to let him do them. Okay? Wow, there's, you know, there's so much. I just keep going on this, but what joy overwhelms everyone who keeps the way of God? How do we keep the way of God? We love him. And we follow his word. You know, if I am not in the word, if you're not in the word, he still loves us. But we can't listen to him. We can't walk in his ways because the word is not in us for the Holy Spirit to work in us. So we have to be filled with his word. It says, "Those seek him as their heart's passion." passion. I'm going to give you three words. I don't know where we are on time. I think we're about out, so I'm skipping a lot, okay? Oh, yeah. Back to the story. I missed a point. Is she said that she talked to Rod, and Rod went down to be with Jason, her son. I called Rod, and Rod says, "Dad, you got to come up and be with them." And I said, "No." I said, "I have an assignment here. I cannot leave." And he says, "But you, this is Jason. This is family. You got to do it." And I said, "No, I can't do it." I said, "I don't know if you can get off work, but you're the one that's supposed to go." That's what was in me. He was supposed to go. And he was able to get off work. He got on a plane and went down there. And he was the right person at the right time and place there. Rod's a believer, then. Yeah, he's a believer. Yeah, he's a believer. And Stephanie has a Mormon background. And so Mormon families came in. And he was there to just make things flow. And he's a good communicator. And he'd listen to the doctors. And he'd tell the family what was going on. Because Jason, you know, was up and down and all this. And so because he was there, everybody knew the essentials of what was going on. But I didn't tell him what God showed me. But afterwards, quite a bit afterwards, I said, "Son," I said, "I was."
Went to their house and talked to them.
Yeah, all together.
All this.
I said, "I wasn't allowed at the time to share this with you." But I said, "This is what I saw," and I told him about seeing Stephanie and Jason and everything. And he says, "Wow." He said, "Jason would come out of the room and he'd go to the lobby and he'd sit in this hard, stiff chair for hours." And he did that day after day after day. And he says, "And he was sitting on Jesus' lap." And I says, "Yes." See, God has a plan. It fits it. It does it. Okay? In Psalms 119, this is something this wasn't what we were assigned, but I thought it was good to go with it. I want you to look at heart verses. And as in 119, 2, it says, "Seek him with all your heart." That was in verse 2. Verse 7 says, "I praise you with a sincere heart." Verse 10, "I have sought you with all my heart." Verse 11, "I have treasured your word in my heart." Verse 34, "Help me understand your instructions, and I will obey and follow it with all my heart." 36, "Turn my heart to your decrees and not to material gain." 58, "I have sought your favor with all my heart." 62, "I obey your precepts with all my heart." 70, "Their hearts are hard and insensitive." And I'd love to talk about that, but I don't have time. Okay? 80, "May my heart be blameless." Wow, think about that. 145, "I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord." Don't we do that all the time? And 161, "But my heart fears only your word." Now think about all those words and what they're saying about the heart here. That's our journey. That's our journey. We're in a journey of the heart in Jesus Christ. And he has it all planned if we let it do it. I have two more words because I don't know what time. Are we about supposed to be done? Okay. I have two words, and one of them was just right after Deb came down and things were a little rocky when she first got back to Oregon. And the communication between us was, you could cut it with a knife. That's a good way of putting it.
We had to drive in the car with each other to Portland every day.
Yeah.
For an hour or more.
Yeah.
So
here's a word that God gave me, and I just want to give that, and I want to give a word that really talks about our walk, and I'll probably end up that way, I think. This word is, you are on a new journey, rising higher and higher into the kingdom realm. The things you are having a hard time laying down are the things of the flesh. That is why it hurts at times. The things you have picked up, the spiritual gifts and clothes of righteousness, I alone have called you. You are climbing hills, hills to the secret place. Yes, you get tired. Yes, you will hurt. Yes, you may fall. Always keep your eyes on the holy highway, because I have turned beauty to ashes. I have paved the road with spiritual gifts. You are ascending to a new place, a place of holiness, a place that reflects my glory, a time and place beyond your imagination. So do not get discouraged, because my revelation is with you, and my love will cover you. Just escape to the secret place till it becomes the land where you live. I love you, and my eyes are on you, and my heart is with you, and my blanket of love covers you. Now, is that good words from the Lord God? Wow. And so, another word that took me a little while to just kind of process during this time, he said, pray through my heart, strive for this, contend for this. This alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. Now, at first I didn't understand that. But as he started showing me and highlighting people and places and things, when I started praying, I started seeing how his love overcomes everything. And I used to go in spiritual warfare with people and use the name of Jesus. I can just love on a person through his love, and it changes it. Because he's changing me to understand that and see it. And that's available to all of us. That's what he wants. Pray through my heart. Strive for this. Contend for this. This alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. See, it's not our heart. It's his heart. And we have to be in that place with him. And I look at it. I don't know how everybody else looks at it, because I kind of go where he shows me to go. But I look at it as I get in that place where my heart is touching his heart. And his heart is touching my heart. And that's the visual I have as I start doing this. And I'm in that place with him. And then this word came out of our prayer time. But I think it gives a good picture of what we do. As we walk in the Spirit with him, as soon as we pause, take a break, or want to stay still in our own relationship with him, we start losing ground, sliding away from him. It's like climbing a mountain. As you go up, you get tired, and you stop for a moment to rest. But then it would be very hard to keep going up. But you could turn around and go down easily. He has called us to keep climbing, moving with him, going up. And as long as we see that it doesn't matter about the speed, we just keep seeking more of him, asking for more, loving him deeper. Then we are moving in and with him. But if we pause, if we stop, we lose ground. Now, to me, that's an easy visual to see. I hope it helps you. But it shows sometimes that, man, we get in that place and the Spirit is moving with us and we really are going. And all of a sudden we get tired and we want to break or we want to change. And if we do, we start sliding down. We start losing ground. And he doesn't want that. He wants us to go higher and higher and deeper with him in this. The journey that we are on in this part after our little problems here. What God started showing us is Debbie's spirit that is in her is very active, and you can see it working in her. And God has given me a timing of when to do something. And sometimes that gets me in trouble with people because people say, well, you need to pray for this person right now. And I know now is not the timing to speak the words he wants spoken because he's not ready for that, all the pieces to be in place. And I don't want to do that. You know, so it gets in trouble sometimes. Not that prayer is not good. What I'm saying is to speak the words that he wants you to speak has to be in his timing. So I have a timing. She has a spirit that's very active. And so when the Holy Spirit starts talking to her, I just have to pay attention, and I start asking God, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I looking at? When? When is this supposed to take place? And then when he gives me the timing, that's when we do it. And so this is being a forging together of us in all of this. And we are blessed. We are strengthened. She used the word contending. I just think we're just loved. That's all I think, you know. And we're just walking in a wonderful place. And no matter what comes, it has no victory because we're in him. There's one thing that we want to do. We didn't talk about it, but we want to do it, don't we? Yeah. We want to bless him. And we're going to do a blessing. And if I can get my phone to work, I got it here for you. Can you see it? Oh, you don't like that? Let me see if I can do it a different way. Pardon us for just a minute. But this is important, I think. It's just on me to do it, so I think we'll do it. That one. How's that? Nope, that's mine. Okay. And what this is number 6. There's a blessing that God gave over the Israelites in verse 24 through 26, I think it is. And in this process of things where God took me, I came across this in the power, I think it's, no, the Priestly Prayer of Blessing. It's a book. And he wrote this out in the Amplified Hebrew to English translation as a Jewish man, okay? And so what we want to do is we're going to read what it says in Numbers 6, and I'm going to bless you with what the Hebrew translation is. So you want to, which one do you want to do?
Want me to read the red?
Yeah, you need to read the red, okay. But I think you guys should stand for this. I really do.
The Priestly Prayer of Blessing.
How does the ghost can keep you?
The red, just do the red, each one.
The Lord bless you.
That. May Yahweh, he who exists, kneel before you, making himself available to you as your heavenly Father, so he can bestow upon you his promises and gifts.
And keep you.
May your heavenly Father guard you with a hedge of thorny protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming your body, your soul, your mind, and spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
May your heavenly Father illuminate the wholeness of his being towards you, continually bringing to you order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose.
And be gracious to you.
May your heavenly Father provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and giving substance,
sustenance,
okay, provision and fellowship.
The Lord lift his countenance on you.
May your heavenly Father lift up and carry his fullness of being towards you. Bring everything that he has to your aid, supporting you with his divine embrace and his entire being.
And give you peace.
May your heavenly Father set in place all you need to be whole and complete so you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, and harmony, as well as the absence of and discord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now that reads different than our, but look what God is promising to do, and that's a blessing. So be blessed. I hope you got something out of this.